And since we have been talking about missions, Cassidy is speaking this morning, and he's bringing some of his thoughts, not only from the trip, a little bit from the Honduras, but just missions in general, like where are we going, where are we heading, and why are we doing some of the things that we're doing. So very thankful to have you speak this morning, Cassidy. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Good morning, guys. A heartfelt welcome to everyone that's here, whether it's your first Sunday or your 50th year. If you can, picture with me for a moment a quiet evening that's along the Ohio River. Maybe you're watching the sunset glowing over the water. But man, life's busy, isn't it? With work and family, cell phones buzzing, news, messages, and all that rush, it can be really easy to miss God's bigger plan. The Bible tells us of sojourners. These are folks like Abraham, Ruth, and Moses traveling through life on God's mission. A sojourner is a pilgrim, someone stepping out in faith, like moving to Parkersburg for a new job, or trusting in God for tough times. Their journeys show God's heart to reach every nation, from ancient days to right here in the Mid-Ohio Valley. Today, we're going to dive into Matthew 28, chapters 18 through 20, the Great Commission. And I know you guys are totally surprised, but did it really start with Jesus' words in Matthew? It goes a little bit deeper, and it goes back into the Old Testament. This is God's kingdom advancing from Genesis to Revelation, calling all nations to his glory. And as a sneak peek, we'll tie it into Genesis 12 and Isaiah 49 to see God's beautiful plan unfold. So if you're new this morning and you're exploring the faith, this is your invitation into God's story. And perhaps you're feeling stuck. This is a call to move forward. If you find yourself hungry and growing, there's deep truth to hold on to. This morning's message is a call for our families, from teens to grandparents, to join in. So let us pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, stir us for your mission, from Williamstown to the world. And Father, I don't know what every heart needs to hear this morning, but somehow in all of your majesty and your glory, Father, you do. Lord, I'm asking that you speak into the hearts of each and every person here today and into this church as the bride of Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start with a reflection question. Have you ever felt like a sojourner? Have you ever found yourself having to trust in God for potentially a move? Maybe it was a tough season health-wise. Maybe you just had to simply make a leap of faith. If we could, let's go ahead and open our Bibles up to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. We will also be putting it up on the screen for you. As we get there, I'll wait just a second here. So I want to paint a little bit of a picture. It says, Jesus, he's just risen from the grave, and he's standing on the mountaintop with his disciples. And as the Bible tells us, he speaks with all authority, and that changes everything. So here's what he says. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the Great Commission, Jesus' command to share his love story in every corner on earth. But God's mission didn't start here. It's rooted in the Old Testament. Let's go back to Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, where God calls Abraham, a man living comfortably in Ur, and think of that like a small town, maybe Vincent, Vienna, something like that. And this is where God says, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, Abraham's a sojourner, leaving everything, family, security, familiarity, to follow God's call. Imagine the courage that it took, not knowing where he'd end up, yet trusting God's promise to bless every nation through him. His faith was messy, he doubted, he made mistakes, but God used him to start a story that reaches us today. And that promise to Abraham points back to Jesus. the ultimate seed through whom all nations are blessed, as Galatians 3:8 tells us. This is covenant theology. It's God's faithful plan unfolding across the centuries. It's also a picture of missions, thousands of years before Matthew 28. So if you would turn with me to Isaiah 49:6, or again, we'll have it up on the screen for you. This is where God speaks of his servant ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. It's too small a thing for you to restore the tribes of Jacob. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. This is huge. God's plan isn't just for Israel, but for all people, including outsiders like us. Think of Ruth, a Moabite widow, who left her homeland to join Naomi, saying, "Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." Her loyalty as a sojourner made her a part of Jesus' lineage, showing God's heart for the nations. Or Moses, a sojourner leading Israel through the desert, facing grumbling and doubt, yet pointing to God's deliverance. This is a picture of Christ's redemption. Or perhaps consider Jonah, who was called to Nineveh, a pagan city. He ran at first, but who hasn't? God used his reluctant obedience to save a nation, showing missions isn't just about perfection, but it's about obedience. These stories show God's mission is weaving throughout history from Abraham's step of faith to Jesus' command. Do you see the connection here? Genesis first plants the seed in God's blessing through Abraham for all the nations. Isaiah expands it as a light for the Gentiles, which is fulfilled in Christ. And Matthew completes it with Jesus saying, "Go and make disciples." This is God's covenant story. Abraham's call is a picture of the church mission. Isaiah's servant is Jesus, the light that we all share. And Matthew's command fulfills the promise. And church, don't miss this part. This reflects the Trinity. It's the Father's plan, the Son's authority, and the Spirit's presence. It's one unified story showing God's heart for the whole world. Amen? Should we give applause to the Lord? I think that's beautiful. All right, so some of you might be thinking at this point, hold on, Cassidy, why should we go across the world when folks right here in our own community need help? Why can't we just send money to the missionaries? These are real questions, and I've wrestled with them myself. Most of us feel the weight of local needs, like families struggling with jobs, or struggles with addiction, or health, or struggling just to make ends meet. God's heart says yes and. Yes, we're called to love our neighbors, both individually and as a church. Think things like the Gospel Mission, Women's Care Center, perhaps our partnership with Escape Student Ministries. But what's more, Jesus says all nations, not just pick one. The going builds relationships, like when our Honduras team saw Junior come to faith in Christ through prayers and the power of the Holy Spirit. Sending money certainly helps, but being there shares Christ's love face to face. Both matter, local care and global outreach. So here's something that God put on my heart to share with you all this morning as I was in prayer and prepping for this talk. One was the recognition of how challenging it is to do this week in and week out. So I have a lot of admiration for the people in our church who are doing that. And a good opportunity to say thank you to the worship team who leads us faithfully every Sunday in worshiping Jesus. So thank you. I'm hopeful that this thing that God laid on my heart is going to serve as a reminder and a bit of encouragement to us all. We're not just sojourners. We're also like exiles in Babylon. Does anybody else feel this tension, or am I alone in that? Let me explain. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 through 7, God told Israel, having been exiled to a foreign land, to do three things: to build homes, to pray for the city, and to stay faithful. Today, with society's challenges, things like division and polarization and economic stress, like the tension we're all feeling right here in the MOV, we're exiles too, living in a world that is not our true home. Since the fall, God's people have faced brokenness, but yet our hope endures. Why is that? Well, I'd like to think it's because the psalmist tells us that his faithfulness endures to all generations. And yes, that includes this one. Also, his mission endures. Just like Abraham stepping out or Ruth finding hope, we're called to shine the light of Jesus both locally and globally. Despite how much tension we might experience, God's been equipping exiles for his mission all along. We just need to trust him and join in his plan. If you're new or visiting, here's the simple truth. Missions is sharing the love of Jesus that offers forgiveness and new life. Like Ruth, a foreigner that was welcomed, you're invited into God's family. And if you're questioning this morning, I hope you can see how God's plan spans across centuries, reaching everyone and maybe even including you today. I don't know where you're at today, but if you find yourself feeling a bit lukewarm, you're not alone, but maybe faith is lost in the busyness of life. Just think of these sojourners. Abraham trusted in God's call. Moses led through terrible times, and Ruth chose faith through the power of the Spirit. Missions isn't just for far-off places. It's also praying for a coworker or inviting a neighbor to dinner, or even just sharing a kind word. I've seen one conversation, like juniors in Honduras, spark hope. Start small, but start somewhere. Now, if we could, let's dig a little bit deeper on Matthew 28. I want you guys to stick with me here. Let's see if we can get it pulled up. So the Great Commission echoes the Old Testament. And by that I mean Jesus' authority here mirrors God's in Exodus. Go reflects Abraham's call. Making disciples ties to Deuteronomy's teaching. Baptizing connects back to Old Testament covenants like circumcision. I am with you fulfills Isaiah's Emmanuel promise. These sojourners show missions as God's plan from the start. Abraham's faith, Moses' leadership, and Ruth's inclusion, without the Old Testament, we miss the covenant roots. It's like beginning in the middle of the story. Charles Spurgeon called missions God's heartbeat. Jonathan Edwards saw it as divine light. You see, missions is like a relay race. Abraham running the first leg, passing the blessing. Moses carried it through the trials. Ruth, an outsider, joined in, and Jesus crossed the finish line, handing us the baton. In our distracted world, where our attention jumps every 15 seconds, this mission keeps us anchored. Who's in your race today? Is it a neighbor, perhaps a nation far away? So what's this mean for us at FBCW? God calls us as sojourners and exiles into his mission, right here and beyond. So let's make it practical for everyone. First, let's find some encouragement in Isaiah 43:19. God says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Even in tough times, division, stress, God's mission is alive, opening new paths for us to follow, just like he did for Abraham, Moses, and Ruth. If you're new, maybe hear from a friend's invitation, we're glad you came. Like Ruth, who was welcomed into God's family despite being an outsider, you're invited to know Jesus. His love shown on the cross offers a fresh start. If that's you this morning, try this simple prayer tonight. Jesus, show me your love. Find us after service and let's talk over coffee or maybe a soda. If you're feeling distant and overwhelmed, maybe your faith feels buried under work, family, or being consumed by, I don't know, fill in the blank. Let's take a page from Abraham, who stepped out despite his doubts. You don't need to cross an ocean, unless, of course, God's nudging you to Honduras, in which case we'll pray really hard for you. As a side note, though, you don't actually cross an ocean to get to Honduras. It's technically the Gulf. Nevertheless, mission starts here. So we can pray daily for unreached people groups. There's still over 7,000 unreached people groups globally. Potentially, it's to give to our mission fund, which supports life change like juniors in Honduras. And maybe that's what God has for you right now, is simply participation in the sending. If you don't know who Junior is, he was a man apart from God that we met on our mission trip to Honduras. He was shy and skeptical, but after a few days of building his family's home and sharing stories, he ultimately prayed to follow Jesus, and in large part because of this church's obedience in the sending and going. That's what going does. It builds trust and it shows love. Perhaps you could set a phone reminder, read Matthew 28 this week, and simply ask God, what's my next step? If today you want to dive a little deeper, dig into Old Testament mission stories like Jonah preaching to Nineveh, or pray through Psalm 67, praying for all nations. You can volunteer for our next mission trip or mentor a young believer in sharing their faith. Simply support global justice like clean water projects, or even just cross the street and tend to your neighbor. Like Moses leading through chaos, your faithfulness and obedience matters. God's doing a new thing, making a way in the wilderness, division, stress, and uncertainty. Church, we're sojourners and exiles, but at the end of the day, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And in John 3:30, we read John the Baptist saying, "He must become greater and I must become less." Missions means making Christ the focus and not ourselves. Whether praying for a neighbor or giving to missions or going to the nations, we have to step back so that Jesus shines. God's doing a new thing and we're invited to be a part of it, pointing to him. And Jesus promises, "I am with you always." And thank God for his promises and his faithfulness. In a world that's pulling us apart with division, stress, busyness, missions has the capability to unite us into God's story. If this stirs your heart in any way, please stand or raise a hand as we pray. Heavenly Father, make us faithful sojourners and exiles for your mission. From inside our homes to the Mid-Ohio Valley to the nations, and may we become less while we make much of King Jesus. It's in his glorious name that we pray. Amen.